like around 15, that's when I started working out like every day. I would like run to the gym because I didn't have a drive, and I would go to the gym and dance class, and then I would run myself home because I didn't have a drive. But it was my outlet, and I've never like lost sight of that. Like, it's carried me through so many things. I wanted to get as much competition experience as I could. Like, I wanted to kill my nerves, basically. Like, I'm not kill them, like they're always there, but like find a way to channel them.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 34 of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. My name is Matthew Pine, and our guest today is Steph Boyd, an amateur boxer from Ormocto Boxing Club in New Brunswick. She's from Fredericton, and at the time that this episode goes out, she would have fought this Saturday in PEI, and this would be at an event that the Holland College as well as the PEI KO Boxing Academy had teamed up on, the Watts Memorial Cup. And I'm really looking forward to having Steph on. It's been quite a while since I saw her in person. I saw her, this was at the 50th anniversary Citadel Boxing Card, Saturday, June 4th. So we were able to connect there, and I've always had my sights on having her. Of course, she's got many different interests inside and outside of boxing. So I'm really excited to have her as a guest. So without further ado, here's Steph. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Steph. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You have a fight tomorrow, don't you?
I do, yeah, in PEI.
Can you talk a little bit about it? What's the card, and who are you going against?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the card is Howard Watts. He has KO'd boxing in PEI. Okay. I think it's the first card in quite a few years in PEI, actually. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. I'm going against Cassie Watts.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've been waiting for this fight for a little while now. Yeah, we did a trial, like, spar in Montreal last year. Mm-hmm. And then we did our exhibition in July this year, so it should be a good fight.
Was that the fight that you had fought at the 50th anniversary Citadel Boxing Card? That was the exhibition?
Yeah, with you with after, yeah.
That's kind of funny, because, I was just thinking, like, when was the last time we saw each other? And that was, I think it was June 4th that card happened. So it's been a while. And have you been since I last saw you? I mean, I see you're getting fights quite regularly. I mean, can you kind of talk about that development where now you're trying to get as many fights as you can as a fighter?
Sure, yeah. So I have been really active. My goal when I started boxing last August, or fighting last August, was to be open by December. So I met that goal. It's like 10 or 11 fights for open. So mm-hmm. I had my 10th fight like over 2 weeks ago. And tomorrow will be my 11th, so I'm open now officially.
Wow, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, so my goal with that is that I want to be able to go to nationals when we have them in the spring next year. And I didn't really want to, they would have upgraded me, but I wanted the experience, so that's why I've been active. And it keeps you the ring rust off, right? So when I'm always active, I'm able to like perform better and always be getting better and just like build each week on what I've been working on.
Where did you start getting that goal to want to go to nationals, and what's kind of the path that you're going to have to take to get to there?
I mean, since I'm in New Brunswick, there's not a lot of other female fighters, mm-hmm. so that opens it up for me, makes it a little bit easier. But I started getting that goal. I went to the national like team training camp last November in Montreal.
Okay.
And that just like opened my eyes to the wonders of boxing, and it just made me like so excited and so passionate, and I just wanted to be able to go as far as I could go. And so that's like just the next step in a much bigger, more exciting plan.
Were there any standouts when you went to that national training camp, like any of the females there that you're able to maybe befriend or not befriend and just start flagging yourself, this is somebody I gotta keep my eyes on?
Well, I mean, everyone was so kind, and like I learned so much from everything. It was really cool. It was a really cool experience. There's nobody in particular I've been keeping my eye on, but I love watching Nyusha box.
Yes.
She's from Team BC, and I think that she's just like a beautiful boxer. And I thought that then, and I've been watching her over the past year, just like she's had a lot of growth, and yeah. So if there's anyone, it would be her for sure.
And she fights all the time. I mean, I were you watching her stories where she was kind of keeping a tally during the summer of all the fights that she had lined up, like in one month or 2 months? It's crazy.
Amazing.
I'm glad you brought her up. I am a huge fan of her as well. I love her style. Very slick boxer. Did you have any chance to share the ring or even just talk to her at that camp?
Yeah, I did get to talk to her, actually. Crazy. I didn't share the ring with her.
Okay.
But actually, right before my test match, I was, like, very nervous. Like, I only had 2 fights, and everyone else had, like, 10 men up at the camp.
Yep.
So I had myself in quite a tizzy before I did my test match, and she looked at me, and she was like, yo, Steph, she was like, breathe. I was like, okay. And I've never forgot. She, like, her looking in my eyes and telling me that. Like, I remember that all the time now before fighting. So it was a cool interaction.
Yeah, and I think she's, she just won Worlds, right?
She didn't, no.
No, but, sorry, I'm trying to think of the most recent competition that she, one, she's actually placing very highly. She's doing extremely well.
She won at that the competition in England.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm really looking forward to see her in Worlds and see how she does. She's definitely a huge standout. I'm glad you brought her up, and I'm glad that she was able to help you. You know, calm your nerves. I mean, that's crazy. When you're thinking about it, right, you're going against people with more experience. I mean, you're getting experience now. How has it been going and getting into boxing? You said you've only started fighting last year, if I'm not mistaken, right, in August?
Yeah, last August was my first fight.
So what's that whole experience been like? What's brought you into boxing? And then also what's it been like trying to catch up?
It's been cool trying to catch up, actually. I've liked it. It's really, like, pushed me. I like pressure, so it's been, like, something that's really driven me forward. And then there's obviously, like, naysayers and all those people. So I like proving people wrong, and I'm just super passionate about it. So I actually, like, didn't like combat sports at all.
Okay.
At all. Wow. Like, 3 years ago, and I started kickboxing a little, and then COVID happened, and then I started, when the club OBC opened back up, like, during COVID, but, like, after the first bad part, I went to OBC for the first time, so about two and a half years ago.
Okay, just so everybody knows, OBC, or Mukto Boxing Club.
Yeah.
Are you close, do you live close to the base yourself, or...
No, I live in Durham Bridge, so I live about 45 minutes away from the boxing club.
Okay, so you have to make some sacrifices, make some commute to get to that gym. What was what led you to go to Ormukto Boxing Club?
Truthfully, I had an ex who boxed, and it was sort of like a friendly competition. Like, he was like, I think you're a better athlete than me, and I was like, well, there's really only one way to find out. So I started trying boxing, and I just fell in love with it. I have, like, ADHD, and I've had, like, a lot of, like, strife or struggles in life, and it's a way of, like, accumulating that all and facing that adversity, and I just love it so much.
Can you talk a little bit about having ADHD, what that experience has been like? How long have you known that you've had it?
It's like, it runs in my family for sure. So I've known since I was in high school, probably. It's interesting. Like, I homeschool my 2 children, and that's part of the reason, because, like, I'm sure that I passed it along to them too.
Yep.
And I look at it as a gift for the most part.
Yep.
But other people find it odd and strange. It makes me quirky in some regards. And for me, like, I learned coping mechanisms and, like, learning tools for myself. Like, I went out of my way to do that, but a lot of people don't get to do that. So that's why I homeschool my kids, so I can help, like, pass that on to them. But it's interesting, like, And it's interesting with boxing too, because my focus strays sometimes and I have to like always be like refocusing myself, and it's cool for the mental like growth. It's interesting.
Yeah, so when you talk a little bit about those coping mechanisms, I mean, what are some things that kind of pop out? Because yeah, like you said, boxing is a sport that you lose your focus 1 second and it can cost you the whole entire fight or right. permanent damage. So what have been some of those coping mechanisms that have helped you in life and also in boxing?
That's a good question. I would say like affirmations.
Okay.
Like I use that term loosely, but there's things that I remember or that stick in my mind that I like consistently have to bring myself back to. Just like knowing my why, like always like going back to my purpose. That's like a huge one. It keeps me like on track. And then something that I do a lot, like as a coping mechanism, is compartmentalize. So I homeschool my kids, I work, I box, but my friend Ashley actually taught me about what I was doing because I didn't realize what I was, and she put it into words for me a couple years ago when I started boxing and fighting. Like, when I get my boxing gym bag, now I'm a boxer, and that's my like physical compartment, and that's how I like connect to boxing. And then when I put that gym bag away, I'm putting that compartment away and I'm moving to something else. So like I'm always like morphing and molding into different roles, and just like being mindful of that really helps me to like stay present in those environments.
And it seems like you have a lot of roles, and you know, listening, like knowing you a little bit from just our everyday conversations every now and then, and then you know, meeting you and seeing you at that event, I mean, we kind of had an opportunity to connect and talk. You know, you mentioned that you homeschool two of your children, and then you work, and then you go to boxing. That's a lot to take on, and that's why it's very impressive that you've been able to also do what you've been doing in boxing and be consistent. I mean, you're very consistent, which is great. I mean, it's showing a lot of progress. How you've been able to find ways to make this all work and to organize your day for you to still be able to do what you're passionate about?
So one of my biggest like mottos is balance, and it has been for a long time. So like I strive to constantly be balancing. I try not to go overboard either, because mm-hmm. I don't want to like live in my mind and mm-hmm. be like, but I will generally like sit down at the start of the week and I'll make a plan and I'll write it down, because then mm-hmm. it's something that's concrete. And I do make sure like every day has a little bit of everything. I mean, there's so much time in a day, but like often we just, not for lack of a better term, we waste it. So I just be conscious of that. And then I think as a coping mechanism a long time ago, like through like hardships, I developed like that I always go to the gym every day. Like I've been training and like an athlete since I was probably like 6 or 7.
Okay.
And then I, like around 15, that's when I started working out like every day. I would like run to the gym because I didn't have a drive, and I would go to the gym and dance class, and then I would run myself home because I didn't have a drive. But it was my outlet, and I've never like lost sight of that. Like it's carried me through so many things, and just like keeping that for myself and like keeping that to connect to myself. So it's like my special time, and I never like, there's days when I am not motivated, but like I don't even give myself the option, because if you sit and think about things, then like you can convince yourself into or out of usually anything. So it's not even something like, it doesn't, like I don't let it come into my mind. Like we're not even talking about it in there.
I'm glad that you were able to talk about how, you know, exercise has been a positive influence in your life. You've always been able to have that outlet. And I'm also really appreciative that, you know, you're sharing a little bit about your hardships and whatnot. I mean, what are some, like you mentioned you were dancing and being athletic since you were a very young age. Is there any times or any memories that you think about when you're younger that, you know, this exercise component has really helped you get through something?
Oh yeah, so many times. I mean, do you want like a real life example?
It's totally up to you. It's whatever you feel comfortable with, Steph. I'm just curious, you know, if you're able to relay that in words a little bit so we could have a better example.
So like my children's, like my ex was super abusive, like to the point where he went to jail for it, like physically abusive. And so I was left alone. This was, I guess, 5 years ago, because my youngest son's 5 years. He was 6 weeks old when like it came to a culmination.
Yes.
And so I was left with a 6 week old and a 2 year old. And that's obviously like a lot.
Yes.
And but the first thing I did the next day was go and like sign up for a gym membership at a place that had like a child care facility.
Mm-hmm.
And like every morning I would get up with them and I would take them and they would go to the thing, their child care, and I would have like my hour and a half of like me time, exercise time, me doing something for myself. And that's really important to me too, to show them that. Like, I'm not, and that's why boxing is actually really important to me too. I see so many like women and mothers let go of things that are important to them and like let go of their sense of self because they want to give everything to their child. And like, there's times, like, I always want to give everything to my children, but it's about also being a role model and showing them like how you apply this to the real world and how you apply it to your life and how you take care of yourself. Because that's what they're going to take away from it the most, is not like, they'll always know I love them. But if I can show them how to create a life where they can do that for themselves, that's what's most important to me. And so, yeah, it really, like, it's just the getting up and having something that you're committed to doing every day that, like, pulls you through, right?
I just want to say, you know, I'm sorry to hear about the abuse that was happening in your life. And of course, the situation where, you know, that abuser had to go to jail regarding this. I can't imagine what it was like in that situation where you have these two children and you're by yourself and you're also having to deal with everything, like the fallout of all that. But I'm glad to hear that you had that instinct still to go to the gym, because I'm just thinking about maybe other people and how they would have probably reacted, and they might have not reacted in the same manner. They might have actually shut down and not wanted to go to the gym or put any effort into themselves and trying to figure out the situation. So would you say it's fair? I mean, when you were dealing with, and I'm not sure if that's still something that you deal with today, but is it fair to say that this was something that allowed you to escape those emotions, or was it something that allowed you to deal with those emotions?
Yeah, I feel like it's an outlet for those emotions. Okay. It's a way to like channel them, and I guess it's a way to escape them too, because it, I mean, yeah, in both ways, like it makes you feel good, it makes you feel good about yourself. So maybe it's not as so much escaping them as like changing them, like here is where my worth is and like what can I do to show myself that. Because, like, in those situations, it's easy to lose your worth, right? And it's just a way of, like, attaching that back to yourself, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yes. And I really love what you brought up about, you know, your identity as a mother. Because I, at least with my example, like, with my own mom, I mean, so much of her life has been a sacrifice for me and as well as my sister. You know, and I can totally understand what you were talking about with that identity. I mean, your instinct as a mom is you're always going to want to do things for your kids, but what is those things that also give you personal happiness, you know, where you're going and doing things that you love? I'm just curious, was there some form of mentorship or, you know, talking with other mothers that have allowed you to develop the views you have that I don't think honestly a lot of moms have? Because it seems like sometimes with mothers, they get kind of caught up with, you know, taking care of their kids, and they kind of stop doing the stuff that they used to like.
Right. No, I didn't have any kind of mentorship that I can think of.
Okay.
It's something that I would actually, and I have actually discussed like mentoring other mothers on. Yes. Like, I would like to speak on it. I think it was more like a lack of that in my own life. Mm-hmm. Like a lack of like role models in my own life taking like self agency for themselves. Like I talk a lot about my grandmother, and she was like my angel and like the sweetest lady. But when I look back, she, everything she did was for other people, which was beautiful. But I just think like balance is so important. Like we have to like maintain our sense of self. Like what we have to give to the world is so important, and it's not just like pieces of ourselves, right? It's like our, what we're passionate about.
I love how you're emphasizing balance and the importance of it, because I think a lot of people, including myself, can live pretty unbalanced life sometimes. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, when I looked at my own life, I was like, you know, there's always been something that I've been pursuing and putting everything behind me and not really focusing on those other things. And then I was also thinking about my life and you know, you work on one thing and you get one thing right, but it seems like other things drag behind. Can you relate a little bit to that feeling where, you know, you might be ahead on one particular thing, but the other things that also matter, we might be behind. You're trying to always address that.
I mean, yeah, it's like a constant rebalancing act, right? But I think that it comes, like, goes back to, like, knowing your why and, like, being able to, like, prioritize what's important. And then, like, it's easy to get wrapped up in what's not important, but, like, letting that go over and over again. And, like, it's really hard. Like, I was talking like it's really easy, but it's, like, really hard to do it. Like, you're constantly going against, the, like, your grain, essentially, especially, like, with all the conditioning that we all have, which is, like, twisted in a yes. sense. So yeah it's hard, and I can definitely relate to that.
Are you at the gym, and are you having like your why pop up in your mind while you're training? Like are you pushing through this stuff and knowing you know you're doing this for not only yourself but your kids, and you know you're trying to set a good role model, show that you're, you know, show your strength, show your development as a person. Is that what you're doing when you're at the gym? You're thinking about these types of things as well?
Definitely, yeah.
Great.
Sometimes, like a lot of times I'm just there having a blast and having fun training. And then other times, like I said, I'm not always motivated. And so I have to go back to that. Like, and I remember that like every day is not perfect. Like there's highs and lows and hills and valleys, but like when you have that why, then it is easier to stay connected to the like long-term vision, to see the forest through the trees, if you will.
I think balance is a really important thing as a fighter, right? You know, we talk about like having your footwork at the right way and not really overcommitting or undercommitting to certain things. Now I know you work with John McKinnon. He's got a wonderful background in martial arts. Have you been able to make any connections? Because I know you're also an artist. Have you been able to make any connections between boxing and, you know, your artwork, or even when you had used to do dancing?
Oh, yeah. It's all dancing, actually. Like, I actually was just telling somebody at the gym about this the other day. Sometimes I'll try to remember to, like, if I'm overthinking when I'm sparring, mm-hmm. to go back to, like, a beat. So I'll go back to, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I'll change the beat. And then, like, first three beats are punches, and the third one's, like, a slip or, like, a head movement or something. So, yeah, and then just, like, when I was dancing, like, I don't ever remember overthinking anything. I was just, like, always present and, like, feeling it. So, like, if I start overthinking boxing, I try to go back to that and, like, remember that presence. And then the same thing with art. I think art, it's more like the levels of boxing that I connect to it. Like that's why I love boxing, because I feel like you like hit a level and then you like plateau there for a while. You're trying to like work all these things out and like learn the next thing, and then you do, and then like everything else sort of falls into place too. It's like I'll get stuck on like a piece of art and then like redo it 100 times, and then like I just can't figure it out, And then one day I'm just like, oh yeah, like it all clicks, and then like that's like a level up there. So yeah, definitely.
And can we go a little bit into your art, because I know that you're a tattoo artist.
I am.
Know that you're a graphic designer. I know that you do work with logos and brand realizations. I've seen you have your own business, Boyd Art, correct?
Yeah, S. Boyd.
S. Boyd Art. How did you get into art and tattooing people?
That was like, my friend was like, I think you'd be a good tattoo artist. And I was like, okay, I'll try.
Really?
And then I like, all my tattoos on my legs. Well, you've probably seen them.
Yes.
Like my shorts. Yep. Fighting. I did all of those. That's how I learned.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, I did all these ones too, but they're all like cover-ups. Mm-hmm. And this was like my first ones that I ever did.
That's amazing.
And then art, I actually like, I thought I was a terrible artist like mm-hmm. my whole life. Like I would look at other people's art and be like, amazing, like I wish I could do that, and like people would be telling me like, you're such a good artist, and I like, I just could never see it. Like my mom would buy me an art kit every year for Christmas, and I'd be like, what am I gonna do with this? Like, what do you mean? And then one day I realized I was an artist, and that's when it started clicking. And like, I didn't like my perspective before until I like learned to like my perspective, and then I did. Yeah. So I'm really excited. Since I came back from Edmonton, I used to go to these underground art shows in Edmonton, and I've been wanting to do one since I came back.
Yep.
And underground.
Underground.
So I'm not supposed to talk about it, but
underground.
I have found a partner to do it with in Fredericton, so I'm going to have my first one actually November 19th. So it'll be like live art, like art battles, like local art.
Oh.
Like, yeah. And then I'm going to eventually try to do it in Halifax too, I think. So it'll be like the place that I used to go to. They're huge now. They do Vancouver and Edmonton.
Yes.
So it'll just be like by invite only. Like,
okay.
Exclusive kind of. But there's no outlet for local artists that don't do like very specific kinds of art. And I think there's a market for it if it's like created in the proper way. So I'm really excited.
And I love what you're talking about when you're talking about perspective in art, because I'm not by any stretch of the imagination an artist. But one thing I've realized is that what an artist does is they focus on certain things from their own perspective when they think about an object or when they try to draw an object. Like you accentuate the features that stand out the most to you as a artist. And I never realized till most recently that, you know, when people talk about perspective, I think that's one part of being an artist. And you've been on so many different mediums. I mean, I've seen that you have your own NFT. And then of course you're doing tattoo. I'm assuming you're also doing conventional art. And what's been your favorite medium to work on as an artist?
I really liked like the graphic, like that NFT that I have was one of the funnest things I've done. Yeah.
Great.
I love drawing on my iPad. I love it.
And do you use Procreate with the Apple Pencil?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's changed the game for a lot of people. I have,
it's amazing.
I don't know if you saw the previous episode with Gallinacci. This is I think episode 18 or whatnot, but we had an artist, an NFT artist on this podcast.
Oh really? I gotta watch it.
Yes, yes. And basically he has a project called G the Fighter where he draws boxing legends, and it's a really cool project because originally it was all black and white, now it's in color. But he just has if you buy a certain version of the artwork, you actually get a digital frame sent to you, and it has like the stats of the fighter, wins and losses, a little write up about them, and it's like a moving like museum piece.
Wow, that's so cool. What a good idea.
And it's crazy what people have been able to do now with rise of digital art and NFTs. It's been amazing. And I know that that's something that you were looking into, were doing. Who are some inspirations for you to kind of get to that level of artwork?
Quite frankly, my inspiration was like money.
Okay, money.
But yeah, I didn't have any inspirations really. Well, actually, my mom's husband, he does like some like AI and stuff, and he had
Okay.
suggested it to me, and he had suggested like that NFTs were cool, and then I started looking into it, and I had no idea what was going on. I was so confused, I couldn't even figure it out at all. And after like talking with some people, and there was actually a few people that I don't even really know who reached out to me on Facebook and gave me a bunch of help and like tips and stuff. So
Really?
that was really cool. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you, when you were speaking about AI, have you tried any of like the like Midjourney AI or any of the you give like a prompt,
That's what
and
he's been doing. So I'm
okay.
at my water's messed up, so I'm at my mom's house right
Yeah.
now. And I've been watching him in there doing that all week. It's crazy.
Yeah.
He thinks it's so funny.
Is it like there's some artists with genuine concerns about it because, you know, obviously there's always going to be a need for artists, but you know, in my own personal experience, like where I'm more of kind of like a writer, I've just taken like certain prompts and been able to get like amazing results from it, just by
Really?
typing. Yeah, just by typing stuff. And you gotta like have the right type of prompt, and obviously you gotta have a vision for what you're looking at. But have you seen any of this stuff and said to yourself, wow, this might be the end of art, or do you embrace it with open arms?
I do not embrace it at all.
Okay.
I'm like super anti-metaverse or
Yep,
whatever
yep.
that is. I think it's like so cool in like so many regards. Like it is amazing, but I mean humans in general just misuse and miss and abuse things and like take them too far.
Yes.
And I feel like it's sort of inevitable. So like going back to like my underground art show, I'm not even gonna advertise it like on social media. Like I wanna like start bringing things back to like the real world. And like I think we, especially when we like put it through social media and like whatever, it gets so muddied
Yes.
even in like our minds. Like I think it's the reason so many people have anxiety and like I don't know. So no, I'm not for it. But I think that like, and I think we saw it through the pandemic too, like people reconnect to humanity all the time. Like I always used to say like I'm scared like the WALL-E movie's gonna come to like Earth, because I don't know if you know that
Yes,
movie,
of
but like
course.
but I'm not really scared anymore because there's so many good people, and like we're always just like bringing ourselves back to humanity, I think.
So,
Oh,
when
I
you, I don't know if you saw, but basically Mark Zuckerberg was at one of the most recent UFC cards. Believe it was one of the Apex cards, and just recently signed a deal with the UFC to deliver events in the metaverse.
Oh no, I did not see
No,
that.
okay. Well, it looks like the metaverse has their eyes on combat sports in particular, as far as like, you know, having that experience. Now, I don't know if it's going to be just like a novelty thing because, you know, it's hard to say what the future will be, but I do know that they're trying to push it very hard right now. So I'm guessing you hear that news and you're probably thinking to yourself, I'm going to go into a rock a little bit.
I think it's so cool. Like in that regard, like it does give the experience to so many people that couldn't have the experience, right? So it just depends how we use it, I think. Nothing replaces real life. Like there's no way that that can replace real life anyways, right? I hope.
When you were talking about just having like these art shows kind of low-key guys, low-key.
That's me down low.
Have you been to any like speakeasies or like any like private clubs like that where you gotta have like a password to get in or something? Because they seem like they're really cool events to go to or areas.
Yeah, so these ones that I originally went to in Edmonton, they were like that. Like,
Okay.
I had no idea. So basically, you can like subscribe to like a mailing list and then like get invites after, but you had to like know somebody who
Yeah,
was
okay.
going to it to get into it. And then actually, there was this really cool bar in Edmonton, and like it was upstairs and everything was nice, and it was like a normal restaurant. But then in order to like get into this, and it was literally like a tavern. Like there was like a hole in the like back wall that you went through and like went in to see people. And then they you like gave them a literal password and they would let you in. And that was so cool too. Yeah.
Wow.
It just creates an experience, right? Like you make people feel special.
Do you get along with like more artsy people? Because I've heard some people like that are artists. You don't get along with artsy people.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no. I was just curious because some people that are artsy, like, and I don't use the word artsy in a derogatory term. I'm using it in a positive. Oh, no, that's okay. But some people that are artists, they actually hate like other artists, which is like kind of interesting, but like. I think it's to do with the spotlight and everybody kind of wants to be that person, that the artistic person that's expressing themselves, and it's hard to pass the torch to everybody when you're trying to be an artist. Do you agree?
Maybe that's why I don't get along with them. I don't not get along. Like, I like everyone. Like, yes. I don't ever like not like people, but I mean, I think it's maybe like that's what they want. And I want like everyone to be friends. And like, I think there's lots to go around and equality for everyone. Yes. And I don't think that everyone thinks that.
Yeah, there's even like a society part about being in conventional arts. You know, you were talking about going to different events or whatnot. But like, you know, that when you were speaking about it, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is like a higher class. Like, you know, you got to be the creme of the creme to get in. And
that is kind of the idea, but. Like, I don't want to be exclusive,
yes.
obviously,
yes.
or I want to be inclusive,
yes.
but I also, like, want it to be people who respect
yes.
the art, because there's a lot of people who would just, like, go to something like that because they think it's fun and get, like, completely shit-faced. I'm not sorry.
Yes, you can.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And, like, just act obnoxious, and I just, like, want there to be, like, a certain level of respect.
Yes.
And I want to create a following so that it's something like that people look forward to, then they
yep.
want to go back to. And like, I think that's a certain kind of people that want to do things like that. But that being said, with those people and like you take media and you like show media after, then it teaches people how to do that too. Right. And that's the thing in Fredericton, because I've gone and lived, I lived in Edmonton and
mm-hmm.
on the wall
mm-hmm.
and traveled a lot. But a lot of people in Fredericton haven't left Fredericton. So there's like, seems to be like a lack of culture here.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's like no education for it. And so if we can find a way to like teach people how to do that respectfully, then that would be cool. I would like to do that.
Yeah. So you're originally from Fredericton, and then you've kind of had the opportunity to go to different parts of the country and, you know, travel around
yeah.
and see things.
I lived in Ottawa. Well, I left like the day after I graduated from high
okay.
school. I wanted to get out of here so bad. I went to Ottawa. I lived in Ottawa, to the university there, and I lived there for 6 years.
What did you take? I saw you went to Carleton. What did you take there?
I started my degree in journalism and human rights.
Wow. Okay, this is something that I'm taking now.
It is?
I'm taking
journalism.
Yes, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I wanted to be a journalist.
Wow.
Actually. Yeah, I like writing. I write
great,
too. So.
Great.
But then I got like a semester into human rights, and I want to help people. And I was like, I can't help people. Like,
yeah.
There's no saving people. So I actually switched to biology, and that's what I took.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is a huge change. My
I
goodness.
No, it's not the same at all.
What were your like? What have you been, what were your ambitions to take biology?
I would still like to eventually go back
mm-hmm.
and do like my idea. I wanted to do like some sort of animal biology.
Okay.
Like marine biology, or like I wanted to work with animals. Like actually got into a program in Australia to go work with lions, but I never went and did it.
Really?
So, yeah.
You're not scared
when
of
I
them?
Lived in Ottawa. What? No.
Okay.
So cool. When I lived in Ottawa, I galloped thoroughbred racehorses for a job too. So yeah.
You bred racehorses?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to this farm and they were advertising for like a horseback rider, and I horseback rode growing
yep.
up. And they were like, okay, like here we go. So they like threw me on a thoroughbred racehorse, but I didn't know what was happening. And they're like, we've got on the track. They're like, okay, go. And they just started running. And after, the two coaches were either like, we've never seen someone like just smiling after that. I was like, what? Like, that's the coolest thing I've ever done. So I did that through university when I lived in Ottawa. I actually got to go live in Florida for like a few months too, because they send their horses mm-hmm. to Florida for the winter because you can't train here in the winter.
Yes.
So yeah, it was really cool.
What?
I was going to be a jockey too. I wanted to be a jockey, and then I gave it up for a guy.
What's a jockey?
Like a person who races thoroughbred okay. racehorses like at the track.
Okay. Like an F1 driver, but for the horses.
That's right. Yeah.
Was it when you went on that thoroughbred for the first time and you were on the track, was that like kind of, I don't know, the equivalent of going on a really fast motorcycle when you're on slower motorcycles before? Like, did you have to hold on for your life, or was there different mechanics when you're going into the gallop? That
so different. Like, I mean, your stirrups are like this long mm-hmm. as opposed to like normal long. The saddle's like a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Like, you hold your hands up on their neck yep. instead of, yeah, entirely different. But if you just like go with them, then it's okay. Trying to stop them is like a whole other story. But because they want to run, like, they love it. They want to work. They just like love it so much.
What type of riding style were you doing? Western or European? Or
Before I did, I know I did like dressage.
And,
like, English.
English
yeah.
style. Okay. This is all I know about horses, horseback riding. I know
yeah,
that.
No, you're doing good.
I got
yeah,
a stepsister yeah. that's been really into horse riding and. Such a beautiful thing. I wish I honestly got into it. I mean, I still can, but like, I guess what I like the most about it is the bond that riders create with their horses. And, you know, yeah. horses from like, my mother was really into horses, growing up. They have different personalities. And
oh, yeah.
do you have any stories about like, have you had your own, personal horses?
Yeah, I had okay. a horse growing up. Okay. His name was Contango.
Contango.
yeah, they do have their own personalities. Some of them are so docile and kind, and some of them are, like, wild. those thoroughbreds, some of them are nice, but some of them are crazy. Yeah, I actually got to, like, there was a horse who ran in the Queen's Plate. I don't know if you know what that is. It's kind of like the Kentucky Derby, but for Canada.
Okay.
And he was at the barn that I worked at. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't been ridden. He had an injury, so he hadn't been ridden in like 2 years.
Oh.
So they got me to get on for the first time. And we spent the whole way around the track. Just, he was just like reared and walked on his hind legs, like the whole way around the track. Like, he was the most fiery, wildest horse. But my horse that I had when I was younger, he was the sweetest, like gentlest. Like, I would go to the barn when I was like upset in life or whatever when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And he would like lay down on the ground and just like let me lay on him and hang out with me. He was cool.
Yeah, and a lot of care has to go into horses, and I know that they can be pretty expensive things.
Money, yeah, crazy money.
You know, I took care of one of my friend's horses. I had this experience. I don't know if you've ever, have you ever had a horse bite you before?
No.
Okay.
Never.
So, okay, then you're on, you got good, you know, horse relations. But for me, when I was a kid, I went to like the exhibition. I'm sure they have that in New Brunswick as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I went to the exhibition and there was like a horse stall. So I put my hand in it and got bit. And I've always been scared to like really pet a horse. And then I went in and helped my friend, whose family had quite a few different horses that they had adopted. And, really weird situation that, you know, if we had a horse podcast, we could get into, but, you know, I was scared. But I was able to over time, like kind of get more comfortable with them because they are huge and they could really just crush you at any time. Like the people under, I think some people don't realize how powerful horses are, and like, you know, if you're not in their good favor.
Yeah, they could stomp you in a second if they wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. Well, that's good you were able to overcome it.
So I mentioned you were working with John McKinnon.
My lovely coach.
Yes. And this is at the Ormokto Boxing Club. I also noticed that you have competed in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with that, and what made you want to get into that? Are you a fan of, you know, the broader, you know, mixed martial arts, or what made you want to start doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competitions as well?
So originally, when I started like martial arts, I started kickboxing,
yes,
actually.
Yes.
And then I did that for 6 months before I started boxing. Okay. And I did want to do like an MMA fight. I've been asked a couple times, like I can do one if I want to, but I'm trying to stay focused,
yes,
ADHD and focused. Yep. So, but I started doing jiu-jitsu and I love it. I think it's like human chess. It's amazing. It's so fun and so different than boxing, but it gives you like more awareness of your body. And so I've never stopped doing it since I started. And like the community is really cool. Like I love the community. My son does jiu-jitsu too. And he asked me the other day if there's jiu-jitsu at the Olympics. So, but, and then somebody like offered that there was a competition this year. And I just like, I wanted to get as much competition experience as I could. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to kill my nerves basically. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not kill them. Like they're always there, but like find a way to channel them. And so I did the first competition, and my first match that day I was like a wreck, and then by like the third or fourth I was feeling so confident, because you get to compete right one after another.
Yes.
Right, so you're just building on it so quickly, and you're like creating these synapses in the brain, which like was so cool for me. So I was like, wow, like I can do that. And so that's why I've continued to do it. It's just for like that experience, because the second one I did, like I wasn't, my son competed in it as well.
Okay.
And so I wasn't even like thinking about it. Like I wasn't nervous. Like I wasn't like, it was.
Were you
it was
more nervous really for your son or?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We were.
Get him.
Yeah.
Yes, take it home.
In the pictures they posted, I'm in the background, just like my eyes as big as
wow.
can be. But yeah, so that's why, just competition experience, because it helped me a lot with boxing.
Yeah, I mean, boxing, like, everything's weighed on to one night with all this preparation,
right,
and everything. It's a huge build-up. And I like what you're bringing up about how when you're doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments, you know, you have multiple fights. I used to do karate. I can totally relate to that, because you might have four fights, you know, in a particular day or evening, whenever you're competing. So would you say, fair to say, when you have somebody, if you have somebody else that you know that's competing, does that ease your nerves a little bit, or does it make you more nervous? Because I know that you kind of have a bit of a squad, so to speak, at Ormukto. I mean, Josh Melvin, I saw him, and you've competed at the same cards with him, and all the great people from Ormukto. Does that help you? Does that help your nerves?
Yeah. Yes. I love, like, well, especially Josh and I, we started fighting. We had our first fight on the same card.
Okay.
And we started, like, we have almost the same amount of fights. He's a couple more than me. But so he's been there, like, since the beginning. So, yeah, having him there, and Tyler Cox, and Tyler will be there tomorrow, too, and so will Josh, makes me feel so much
great.
Better. Like, team, right? Like, yeah, I love the atmosphere, and we're like all going through the same thing together. Like we go out for supper together, and it's like, it's just a cool experience. So yes, I love having my team there with me.
I love the vibe when I met with you all at the Citadel event.
Well, yeah, because Josh was there.
Josh was there too. We were sharing a post fight pizza, talking about the bouts and everything like that. But what I really loved was there was this mentality, like. Because I think that exhibition that you went against Cassie Watts, was it not like 3 days notice or something like that? Like you had very, very short notice. And there was this vibe that I got where it was like, no matter the goal, you know, we're going to do it.
That's
you know, right. We're going to go and we don't care about having to. Yeah, we're from New Brunswick. We don't care about having to drive to another province to get fights. We're going to get fights. Like that was the. The kind of, is that a fair representation about?
That's absolutely, yeah. We're here for it, absolutely. Yeah, my bout last for 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, I found out about that one like 3 days before too. So.
Jeez, you gotta stay ready all the time when it's stuff like that.
That's right. Yeah, that's. Right. I saw a quote yesterday that said, "Champions are always in fighting shape." So that's true.
Are you keeping notice of some of the upcoming fights, in the professional ranks? Savannah Marshall versus Clarissa Shields. Have you been keeping your eye on those fights, or have you not been able to with your own fight coming up tomorrow?
No, I've been following along. It's so cool. I'm so excited for that. I was so disappointed when it was canceled the first time. So I'm hoping I'll be done in time to watch tomorrow night. But it's just like a monumental, right? An all-girls card. It's amazing.
Yes. What are your picks in that fight, and then also in I think it's the co-main, or I think it's the
Michaela Meyer. I've been following Michaela Meyer for probably 2 years now. And so she's my pick for that, the Alicia Baumgartner fight. I'm all for her. I think she's gonna take it. And then I pick Clarissa Shields over Savannah Marshall.
It's weird when you get a fight rescheduled. Like, what I think to myself, is it gonna be more entertaining, less entertaining? The press and everything like that, and Michaela Meyer and Alicia Baumgartner. Yeah. I sorry if I mispronounce your name and you're listening, Alicia. Sorry. She's probably not listening. But you never know. So one thing I love is the energy difference in this fight because of that reschedule, because it seems like the energy is a little bit higher, you know, going into the fight. I don't know if that just try to get the event to do better, or if they're just getting frustrated the fact that they've already been here and they've already prepared for this fight. It's awesome. All female card, female boxing, female fighting in the mixed martial arts. It's been really going through a huge refining process in the last few years, has really been gaining popularity. And the fights that, you know, have been put off, you know, if you look at some of the male divisions in boxing, the fights that we've always wanted, I believe personally, women have led the way of having more competitive fights, and it's making the male divisions have to do the same thing, because, you know, Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, you know, Clarissa Shields, Savannah Marshall, you know, these big fights in women divisions are happening.
Yeah, it's really cool to like watch it happen.
Do you have any ambitions to one day become a pro in boxing or combat sports?
Boxing. I would like to go pro.
Great. I know, of course, you said nationals too, and I hope you get that goal. And I like that, like you said, you went to that training camp, you know, kind of what you're getting into as far as, you know, the expectations when it comes to training. So is it like, just to go back to that training camp that we had talked about earlier, is it something that you're like with Team Canada, and then outside people are allowed to also train with them? Is that kind of the idea, that you get an idea of what it is?
It was actually like an ID camp. Okay. So they were like trying to put together Team Canada.
Okay.
That's not how they did it. They did it through like video stuff this year.
Yes, the push-up challenges and yes.
But I wasn't an open fighter then, so that wasn't an option for me. Mm-hmm. But now I am.
Great.
And they'll have nationals this year, so it will be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, there was a couple girls like that had been on Team Canada before, and there was a couple girls around that were on Team Canada, like Irene Fiolek, she was there. And then like Carolyn Vieira, she was around, but she didn't train at all with us or anything. it was just more of like an ID thing.
If I'm not mistaken, Charlie Kavanaugh?
Yeah, I sparred with her right before she left for Montreal.
Okay.
I got to New go Brunswick. Sneak on and spar with her. Yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing too. She's very athletic. I've been following her, and I'm trying to keep up with the national teams. Great.
There's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of talk, because I did do some background research. You know, we talked about a lot of the hats that you wear. You know, you love hats. You might, you know.
I actually do love.
Okay, hats. Okay. I meant it in a more metaphorical way, but yes, you have many hats, and that's one thing I really appreciate about you, Steph, is you're not limiting yourself from just being one type of person. You're exploring, you know, different avenues in art and fighting, being a mom, following what you're passionate about. But when I did my research, I noticed that you have experience being like a personal trainer, a CanFit Pro and LA Fitness in Edmonton. Can you talk about, you know, how that has also influenced, you know, yourself as a fighter and going to the gym and fitness in general?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just so necessary. Like, so I personal train now for, I guess, almost 10 years.
Wow.
And I still do it in some contexts. Like, I have a few clients here, and I've started actually recently more again. It can become a little weary if people try to use your energy instead of their own.
Yes.
for the sake of training. So I took a little break, but I'm better at boundaries now. So,
yes.
But as far as like fitness, I mean, I already had a lot of the tools that I needed. Mm-hmm. I knew a lot of how to train, so that was like a huge help for me. And I just like try to promote activity as much as I can in everything with everybody. I just think it's so important. It's like you can be having the worst day in the world and you can go and exercise for 30 minutes and your perspective is entirely different. And I always have remembered that with fighting. So like I'm isolated a lot because I homeschool my kids, mm-hmm. and like I live alone. So I'll be having like a bad day, I'll be in a bad mood, and I realize I haven't gone to the club for like a couple of days, and I'm like, oh, like that's what I need to do. Like that's what I need. And we'll go on after I feel like a million bucks. So yeah, and my personal training style has really changed over the years. So I had like very like strict views on what was correct and what wasn't correct when I started. And now I like think everything in life, and especially personal training, is like not a one size fits all. There's like a very specific something that works for every single person, and it's different for every single person. So I just like to like try to find a way for people to like commit to something long term, something that they're going to enjoy doing and like be passionate about, whatever that is.
I was just curious, like I think I've seen you started doing your own classes, if I'm not mistaken. Is these women boxing classes, or is it open for everybody?
It's open for everybody. My kids go to Taekwondo at like a small community center by my house, and they were doing self-defense at the end of one of the classes, and I was watching and I was listening to like the teenagers talk about the things that are happening in their high school.
Yes.
And I was just like terrified, like horrified. And I actually went to school and didn't realize at the time, but now I remember, with the coach of the Taekwondo, and he approached me and asked if I would want to do a boxing class at the community center. And I had been trying to figure out a way that I could like help these kids because I was so sad for what was happening. So I started doing it. And yeah, it's adults and children. So like a lot of times one of my sons will come with me, the older one, and I have adults up to like 40, 45 doing the class.
Wow.
And I love it. It's so cool. It's so cool. Like a couple weeks ago, I had three kids come in for the first time. They were like 15. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the class, their first time boxing ever, they were, first of all, like amazing. And they each had their own style. Like there was like nothing similar about them. And I love that about boxing. Like I think it's sad when we get away from our own styles in boxing, mm-hmm. because of like technique. And like, I understand like basic boxing and we need to like develop that foundation first, but to be able to go back to that, cause that's who we are. Right.
Yes.
And like, it was so cool to see it so clearly. Like here's three kids, both great. And they're both going to be completely different boxers and like amazing at it. So yeah, I started doing that. And then I'm actually talking with my friend Simone, who I also train with, about going into schools and like doing a just female class.
Okay.
Because I think that like so many teenage girls lack that like self-confidence and self-agency that it can give you. And I really want to like give that to them.
I think that's really very respectful what you're doing. You know, seeing the need, seeing, you know, some people with some troubles and trying to use what you know with boxing, try to help and make an impact in their lives. At least for me, like with being bullied, I was bullied in school. I don't know if you have any experience with bullying. But it was something that, karate at the time has helped me get past I know it's for a lot of people that happens too, and not just even bullying, but even bad situations at home or at school, and developing that confidence and being able to stand up for yourself. Because I think you'll agree. I mean, more than just being able to fight people outside of wherever we're at, it's that confidence that we get that allows us to really win the battles in life. Would you agree?
Right. Yeah, I mean, when I speak on self-agency, and I do, like, a lot, that's what I mean. Like, you know that you, like, have it inside of you. And I think, like, that alone gives you, like, an energy and an aura, right? Which you, like, project out into the world, which, in a sense, is, like, a protection to begin with. And yeah, like, that deep knowing that you, like, can take control of yourself and can come through anything. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Steph, we're getting close to the end of the time. I just want to say, like, a huge thank you for coming on the podcast, being excellent to schedule. You know, I wasn't sure, you know, having an upcoming fight. I just realized today, I was like, you know, she probably just wants to, like, you know, rest and get ready for the fight. But I'm really thankful that you came on here sharing your story. We have a lot of things we can take away from this. And, yeah, I'm just glad that you came on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad I got to. It was really cool. It was so nice talking
with you. Yeah. And, of course, best of luck in your fight tomorrow. You kind of know the territory a little bit. This is not the first time that you fought Cassie. But this will be not an exhibition, right?
This will be
a real fight. Yeah. So you're going to have that extra pressure to try.
I'm excited. Yes.
Awesome. Hey, and yeah, so thank you so much for coming on there, Steph. Hope you take care. We'd love to have you on in the future. See how things go.
I would love to do that.
Thank you. Have a good
day.
Thank you. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. A couple things to take home with us from this podcast. Of course, Steph was very open with us, sharing her story. I love when people are like that. And I hope that we can all respect and learn something from what she had to share. So a couple things that she talked about was balance, the importance of it. You know, it's easy to think about balance when it comes to boxing, having your feet set, you know, always being in the right position for anything. But when we apply it to the greater concept of life, you know, when she was talking about motherhood and how often it's mothers that have children that then make the children the main priority in life because of the fact that they're a mother. And, you know, she talked about how she was still trying to find ways to, you know, have balance in her life and do things that she's passionate about. So, I think what Steph had outlined in this podcast is something that's really beneficial for any young mothers out there, anybody that's thinking about having kids in the future. You know, I've never heard this type of conversation be brought up too much. So I really appreciate that Steph was able to bring this in the podcast, as well as everything else that we talked about. So as always, guys, if you enjoyed this podcast and you're listening to it, make sure to subscribe to it. That way, when a new episode comes out, you won't miss it. Of course, you can also leave a rating, what you thought about the episode there as well. And if you're watching the video portion, whether it's on Spotify or whether it's on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and share the video if it's something that you enjoyed. And you can also subscribe to us on there. Again, new episodes come out. You won't miss it. And until next time, guys, take care. Whatever time you're listening to it, we'll see you next time.
I wanted to get as much competition experience as I could. Like, I wanted to kill my nerves, basically. Like, I'm not kill them, like, they're always there, but, like, find a way to channel them.